Pastor Eric is not here. It's on. Oh, it's on. You don't hear me? Okay. So Eric is not here today. And Adam's giving the message. Just kidding. You guys are going to be sick of me by the end of today, because I'm going to sing and do the message. And we're switching it up because I'm going to do the message first. Get everything kind of hard and new out of the way so we can settle into the music. Yes, I just want you to stay. All right, welcome to Portico. For those online, you should be here. Just kidding, but you should. So we're going to get started. I'll say a prayer, and then we'll dig into this whole thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a time to come together here as a family and just to be together, to just hang out with each other, and but overall to learn about you and to hear from your word, to hear from you, and just ask that you would work in our hearts, in our lives, and that Holy Spirit, that you would just move in this place and just show us a new light, a new way of different ways of that you love us, and just may this time together be about you more than anything. We love you, we thank you, and we give you all the glory and praise in your name. Amen. So, if you didn't notice in the beginning, did you guys see my boys playing video games? There was a purpose to that. So, yes. Anybody remember this? This is a scaled-down model. Yes. Do you know what this button is next to the power button? Here you go. That was my favorite button because I have an older brother who loved to antagonize me, and he would just sit there and get me all fired up and just love to sit back and watch me blow up. And in fact, I had one of these $70 Nintendo Advantage controllers that was like a table almost, and it had a joystick and like super turbo buttons. I had it for like a week, and then he ticked me off playing Bases Loaded or something. And I just took it, chucked it against the wall. When I was like, you know, last week, but no. I was like, I don't know, sixth grade or seventh grade, but I had a temper when it came to video games, and he loved taking advantage of that. So I would hit the reset button a lot of times just to get him back. Oh, you're winning. Boop. No, you're not. So, how about this? But it's got a purpose. See, I'm using it today. Huh? Yes. So, I don't know if you guys, anybody remember playing this? Anybody have one of these? Yes, yes, yes. So we got the on-off power, the TV type, color, black and white. My favorite, the difficulty switches, A or B. Game select, and of course, game reset. Once again, a wonderful. How about, yeah, that's right. So what was the favorite thing to do with these things if it wasn't working? You know, we grow up and find out that did nothing besides ruin them. But today we're going to talk about reset. We're going to talk about resetting things. Resetting our hearts, starting over. Kind of like, I just played that video because they had cell phones that really had no other purpose, and it was funny. But how many times do we have like our phones, things start to get bogged down and we have to power them down to power them back up just to clear off. I don't know all the jargon, but I'm sure there's stuff in the crap that's just running in the background that's just slowing it down, and we have to reset it. Start anew again. So, I got to start a timer so I don't go over. Yes. How long should I set it for? 50 minutes? 65. Yes. Set a timer for. All right, sorry about that. So today we're going to talk about King Hezekiah. Before this message, I really didn't know a whole lot about him. And it's just kind of sad. I've been a Christian for like 40 years now, and I've read through the Bible multiple times, usually during one of those, not usually, every time. It's been one of those daily readings, read the Bible in a year thing, and you read a bunch of chapters a day. But since the beginning of 2022 here, God has been kicking my butt with the Old Testament, and I have been picking up stories that I have never, like I've maybe heard mentioned growing up, but never really dug into them. And it's just been, he has been opening my eyes, and I am loving it. It's pretty dang cool, and I'd suggest, like, if you guys are reading the Bible, which I hope you are, don't just blow through the Old Testament, like, really dig into those stories. They are fascinating, as you will see today. So the little disclaimer here, this section of scripture that we are going to be reading is a ton of stuff all crammed within this story. Some of it I am going to skim over just because we don't have the time. But you're going to have to trust me that I'm going to summarize it well. It is all there in the scripture, and go ahead and read it if you want. But I started looking into the story a little bit deeper than the surface part that I had, and there was just trail after trail, and I'm like, I got to stop and bring it down to one thing. So, that's my disclaimer. So today we're going to talk about Hezekiah. But to begin with, I forgot to put a picture in. This is something I didn't know. I always read in the Bible about Judah, and I'm like, I don't know where Judah is, but it's somewhere in the middle. But I learned this time. So Solomon, when he passed away, Israel broke up into two countries. So we have the northern part, which is called Israel. The bottom, the south, was called Judah. And so, to start off, we're going to talk about the different players in this story, just to give you an idea before we read through it. So Israel, at the time that we're going to talk about here with Hezekiah, Hosea was king. Not Hosea the prophet, but Hosea the king. Hosea did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Israel at the time worshipped other gods, and they sinned against God, following the example of every nation around them. They kind of just went with the flow. Which is weird, because even after God delivered them out of Egypt and did all those things throughout, you know, parting the Red Sea, I would think would be like, hey, God's real. We should follow him. But no, they did their own thing. It's weird to me. And then also during the same time is when Assyria, which was a neighbor, came in and invaded Israel and took over. And so now we're going to talk about Judah, which is the southern kingdom. So at the time of that story we're talking about, Hezekiah is king. And it's interesting to note that Hezekiah's father was King Ahaz. And just to get an idea, Ahaz was also doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord. But he was known as one of Judah's worst kings, where Hezekiah was known as one of the best. And his son Manasseh was the worst king when Hezekiah passed. So Ahaz followed what Israel was doing, and they all worshipped idols. Ahaz, in fact, even sacrificed one of his sons, Hezekiah's brother, to a pagan god. Reading through the Bible, as I'm sure you know, you guys have done, I kind of blow off the worshiping pagan gods, like, oh, whatever, you know, that's weird. But I got a chance to look into what it meant, like Ahaz sacrificing his son to this pagan god, Moloch. To give you an idea of how brutal this is, when they would sacrifice a child to Moloch, they had this statue or this idol built of this god, and he had a bull head and a body, a human body, and he had his arms stretched out like this. They would build a fire around this statue and heat it up so hot that this bronze statue would be beet red. And then they would place an infant child in the arms of this statue, and the child would burn to death. And as it was burning, the people that were there would pound on drums to drown out the screaming of the child. And that's sacrificing your son to this pagan god. I cannot even fathom what in the world would go through somebody's head to do that. And that's what this Ahaz, King Ahaz, did. And so I think it's like, as Hezekiah, you're probably going like, I'm going this way. And that's why even in 2 Kings here, I believe it's either 2 Kings or 2 Chronicles, he doesn't even say that Hezekiah is Ahaz as his father. He says, I follow after my father David. And he's going after, like, I don't remember, but he's in the line of David. And he's skipping his dad. But Ahaz built pagan altars on every street corner in Jerusalem. Even closed the doors in the temple of the Lord. Ahaz was such a bad king, he wasn't even buried in the royal cemetery. So after he passed, then Hezekiah became king. So the other player in this whole thing is Assyria. So Assyria had a massive army, a massive empire. I had a picture that I was going to post to show you just the difference. Here's a little bitty Judah and then Assyria. And the king at the time of Assyria, it was King Sennacherib. He was a successful military commander, but he was arrogant and he created hatred everywhere he went. So Assyria was known for their cruelty. The country was mostly made up of desert, and so to survive, they would invade other countries, conquer them, and then they would tax them and bring all their stuff into Assyria. They would destroy the cities, and then the people, when they would invade the country, they would deport all the people in that city and deport them to other countries just to break their moral, to break whatever they had, just to break them and feel like they were overwhelmed and overpowered. Make it seem hopeless. And so the people they didn't deport, the Assyrians would capture them. And then after they capture them, they would impale them on posts or stakes, or they would skin them alive. Again, how in the world could anybody sit there and watch that or be a part of that? So here's Judah and Hezekiah. Hezekiah becomes king and sees Assyria is coming, and they invaded Israel. And Assyria took pride in the fact that they were evil and that they were cruel. They loved it. They ruled over much of the area. They had Ammon, Moab, Edom, and they conquered 46 cities within Judah. And so they were coming for Jerusalem, the capital. It just seemed almost impossible to resist. So we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. In the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places, broke the pillars, and cut down the Asherah. The Asherah is also like pagan gods, idols. It was a pole that they would put up and sacrifice things to. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Until those days, the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan, and I will talk about that in a second. That's a tangent that I am not going to go too far into because it's a pretty cool story. But a couple things to point out. 2 Chronicles 28-29 kind of parallels with 2 Kings 18, and they both talk about Hezekiah. But I thought it was good. In 2 Chronicles 29:3, it says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So Hezekiah, this is talking about Hezekiah, in his first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors up to the house of the Lord and repaired them. So that's the very first thing. Hezekiah becomes king and is like, let's get the house of the Lord open again. The same place that his father closed up. His first priority was to worship God. This country. Like, they tore down all the idols on every street corner in Jerusalem. They cleaned out the temple of the Lord and they rededicated it. Hezekiah, he hit the reset button on Judah. See what I did there? Huh? So when Hezekiah became king, he inherited an absolute mess with Judah. Judah was spiritually cold, it was militarily weak, and politically unorganized. So when Assyria came knocking on the door, it was inevitable that they would be coming. What did he do? When Hezekiah became king, he knew his army was pretty sad. Did he build up the armory first? No. Did he get the palace in order? No. He got right in the eyes of the Lord, putting God first. So another interesting point about this verse, and we're going to come talk about that bronze snake in verse 4. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan. By the way, Google is awesome to help pronounce these names. So this bronze serpent thing, I was like, why does that matter? Why is it in there? Well, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but in Numbers 21:8-9, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. And Moses did that. So what it was is the Israelites, when they were wandering around in the wilderness, were grumbling and complaining, like teenagers, I guess. Just kidding. I'm pointing it out. Okay, just want to know, my wife is trying to distract me here. With her beauty. So the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness when they got out of Egypt. But they were grumbling and complaining about all the things going on. And finally, God had enough of it. And he just sent poisonous snakes throughout the camp. And anybody that got bit by these snakes was dead. They were like super poisonous. But because God is a just and merciful God, he had Moses build this bronze serpent and to put it on a pole or a stake so that anybody who got bit, if they looked at this, they would still live. But years later, these people turned it into an idol. And they were sacrificing things to it. And they were worshiping it. So something that God intended for good turned into something evil. Isn't that true? That we can turn almost anything good into an idol. Whether it's our family, whether if it's a job, our spouse, material things, like we get obsessed or start idolizing and worshiping money so that we can buy certain material things. And we can even worship. And sometimes I got to watch myself with that, because if you ask my family, I listen to music 95% of my time. 96% of the time, there's always, I mean, we have 7 Alexa speakers in our house. So there's a lot of music going on. But we need to be careful. God needs to be number one. God wants to be number one in our lives. And he will do whatever he needs to do in our lives to get our attention. So I have a story, and I'm going to apologize to my boys for not asking them about this, but I'm going to go there. You guys can beat me in wrestling later if you want. So this is a prize, yes. This is going to, my boys, I don't know if you guys know what Camp Four Springs is. It's a camp up north. Nothing against Silver Birch. I have a cousin and his 5 kids went to this camp every year. It's a Christian camp. They loved it. Finally talked us into sending our kids. Our boys went last year, and they absolutely loved it. They both grew spiritually. They came back, and they were asking about worship songs. They were talking about the guy who spoke and just the great time they had. You could tell that their faith grew, and it was cool to see. This year, we were going to send them, and I became a slacker, or my slackerness came out, and forgot to sign them up. And so when I did try to sign them up, they got put on the waiting list. You're welcome. But then I started thinking about that, how they're on the waiting list, and they want to go. But maybe this is part of God's plan. Because in this time, we asked our boys if they ever started praying, if they've ever prayed, if they pray at night for, and they're like, no. I mean, Rachel and I pray together every night before we go to bed. We pray with our kids before they go to bed. But they haven't prayed themselves. And so when this started, we started having the boys pray. And that's one of the things they prayed about was, like, God, just please bring some college-age people to come be counselors so that we can go to camp. And so now, probably about 2 weeks now, our boys are praying with us at night, and they're actually praying. Is that what God is wanting right now? More than them going to camp, he wants the relationship with them. They are now talking to their Heavenly Father. They now have opened up that communication with him. And that's what he wants, more than he wants them to go to camp. He wants them. He wants to be a part of their lives. He wants them to come to him. They are developing a habit of talking to God right now. And I will say that is something my wife and I are incredibly proud of. And that's something that I hope they continue. But God will do things because he wants us, not because he wants to make us happy necessarily. So to continue with the story of Hezekiah, Hezekiah reset Judah, if you will, reopened the temple of the Lord, started celebrating the Passover again, and making worship of God a priority. So this is where we're going to skip over some of 2 Kings 18. It's basically about King Sennacherib building an army of around 200,000 soldiers ready to invade Jerusalem. So at this time, Sennacherib sends his chief of staff to confront Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem with a message. So 2 Kings 18, 33 and 35 says, "Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" So he's trying to stir up distrust among the people in Hezekiah, like the kingdom, trying to get the people to turn on Hezekiah, saying, like, look, you don't stand a chance. What other god in this area has saved their people, saved the people of their countries? None of them. But the people of Jerusalem follow King Hezekiah's orders, and they do not speak or engage with this chief of staff. But during this time, King Hezekiah has been seeking the advice from the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah has been reassuring the king that there is nothing to fear and that God will protect them. So then King Sennacherib sends a letter to Hezekiah, which again mocks God and says nobody can defeat Assyria. But King Hezekiah takes the letter, goes to the house of the Lord, and then he spreads it out before the Lord, and he prays. That prayer is here in 2 Kings 19, verses 15 through 19. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone." Sounds like a good plea to me, good prayer. So Isaiah then got word from the Lord, and he sends a message to King Hezekiah, letting him know the Lord heard his prayer and not to worry. So 2 Kings 19, 32 through 36, Isaiah tells King Hezekiah here, "Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into the city, declares the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it, for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." So that's where Isaiah is telling King Hezekiah again, don't worry, God's got your back. So this is the coolest part of the story. 35. And that night, so this is when all the Assyrians, the 200,000 troops, are like camped outside of Jerusalem waiting to invade. And that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. So when the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived in Nineveh. And in 37, there's a bunch of names I can't read, his sons. Sennacherib's kids, two of his boys, killed him as he was worshiping in his temple in Nineveh. Murdered him. Think of that. One angel of the Lord, one night, 185,000 soldiers dead. Boom. That's crazy. God had his back. This same God has your back. He has our back. Don't forget that. Things might not go the way you want, but he loves you, and he wants the best for you, and he knows better than you. That's a struggle, because we think we know what's best for us. But as the songwriter Sean Curran has said in one of his songs, he's been God for a long, long time. He knows what he's doing. He knows better than us. He's got a plan, and more than anything in this plan, he wants our hearts. He wants us. He doesn't want us to be the most richest people in the world, or he wants us. So when Hezekiah took over as king, he knew that Assyria was coming, and he knew his military was weak and his palace was a mess. He knew the most important thing was to get Judah on reset. That's reset. So the definition of reset is to start anew, to set again. And that's what they did with Judah. They started anew, opening up the temple of the Lord, starting worship up again, and getting going. So I think, as I made the point before, our lives can be a lot like these games, like these systems, like our phones. For all the young folks, like your computation machines. They get slow and draggy. Did that joke go? Did you understand what that was, Haley? A computation machine? Dang it. That's even old. What's that? Side note, when I was in Ireland for my honeymoon with my wife, it was like 2002. We were in a small town in Ireland, and they had a sign that said, "We have the internet machine here." Thought that was cool. Anyways, back to the point. Sometimes, just like our cell phones and a router at home, that's another great example. Things get bogged down and things slow down, and we need to unplug it, pull the power, reset. Get our hearts right. Sometimes we need to put all this stuff in our lives aside, put our family obligations aside, put all this stuff aside, put everything aside, and refocus on what is important. What does God want more than anything? And he wants our hearts. Are we more focused on praying for that thing, or are we focused on spending time with God, getting to know him more? Our hearts need to be about him, and our hearts need to be about worshiping him, not worshiping anything else. So what are you worshiping right now? Because we all worship something. Every one of us worships something. And you might not want to admit it. But what do you spend the most time doing and thinking about? Maybe this is a good time to hit the reset button. One of the best things I've ever done in my life as I started reading this, I learned about this from a podcast from a pastor, Chip Ingram. It's a daily walk Bible, and it's a read the Bible in a year thing. And the coolest thing is that it has a summary of what you're going to be reading, and it also has like a point that you can pull out of it every day for all the, like, you know, there's 3 or 4 chapters each day. But it gives you a summary of what's going on, which is something that I needed. Like, you know, the stuff with Hezekiah and pointing things out. Like, that's where I got partly this, I got started with this message, was reading this story about Hezekiah. And I'm like, holy mackerel. I don't think I can tell you enough and push enough and beg you through my 45 years of being alive, my 25 years of being alive, I can't tell you enough how important it is to read the Bible every day. I have a cousin who was a pastor, has his Master's of Divinity, had a huge love for Christ, became a pastor at a church in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, which I don't judge him for that, was a pastor there, but after 5 years, burned out and hasn't done stuff in ministry since. And it's been, I don't know, a handful of years. But if you ask him, okay, I'm done. If you ask him, reset, yes! If you ask him what happened and why he burned out, he said he stopped reading his Bible every day. He wasn't getting filled. So if you're not getting filled, where you're getting filled from something. Are we getting filled from the TikTok? Are we getting filled from the YouTube or the Instagram? The social media. Like, I'm as much of a culprit as anybody else, I'm sure, spending more time looking at stupid social media crap or playing games on your phone. Rush Royale, if anybody wants to play, let me know. Maybe. I have a sweet tooth. But I can't beg and ask you guys enough. Read the Bible every day. Ask my boys. I try not to nag them too much, but we have these things laying around in our house. I gave each of them one. They're still laying around unused. But right here, if anybody wants one, I have a couple of them here. Please, take one. Like he said, it's not sponsored. But I can't tell you how much reading the Bible changes. And even if you're not grabbing anything from it, it's the fact that you're taking the discipline to spend that time with God. You're not going to get anything you may, and that's awesome, learn something every single day. But it's that discipline. I think God is like, he's taking time out to spend with me. That matters. Even if it's just for 5 minutes. That's all. So, I have two here. Feel free to take one. They're easy to find. You can use the Amazon. It'll be in your house in like 2 days. Actually, it took 1 day to get it from to my house. So, that's what I got. Hezekiah. Putting God first, getting his heart, getting the country's heart right, getting the priorities straight. Even when there's the Assyrians that are coming to attack and it seems overwhelming and impossible. God wants us first. He will take care of you. He's got your back. So we're going to start, we'll end this time was gathering with some songs and some worship. And while we do that, before we do that, why don't we take some time just to breathe? I'm going to ask Taylor to play a song or just some music just to take some breaths. Just take some deep breaths. Close your eyes. Do what you do. Reset. Take this time to reset. And then we'll start with some music here in a minute. And let me pray quick here, and we'll get going. Father, we thank you for this time and just what your word says and being able to understand it, having the chance to be able to read your word, that we aren't, that we have the option to just read your word and to get to know you. Just ask that you would move in here in this place, online, with the people that are watching, that your heart would be seen, that your love for us would be known, Help us to put things aside and to just reset and get our priorities in order and just know that you love us more than anything else in this world. Please just come and be here and change our hearts. We love you. We thank you. In your holy name, amen.